Blog Talk Radio.
Manners are the happy ways of doing things. And Emerson was right. Be natural. Be yourself. But see yourself as others see.
Gentlemen, this is Thursday, September 1st. I am the Fat Man Rob Fortone, and welcome to FWO Radio. Our guest at this time is none other than the great Damian Daniels and the Guinness Book of World Record holder Lightning, Tim Lutz.
What's up? You there,
what's going on, Rob?
How's it going, John?
Rob, all these years I've known you, I never knew your last name till now.
Well, you know.
Such coincidence, too, isn't it?
I know.
But, all right, gentlemen, well, let's get right into it. I do have to start off with the obvious 10-spot lightning round, and this week's lightning round is brought to you by Laura Davidson. She is selling Scentsy stuff. You can visit her website at lauradavidson.scentsy.us. It is also being brought to you by Fuck You Davidson. Yes, you heard that right. That is Fuck You Davidson. You can get your own very own Fuck You Davidson t-shirts by contacting Nicholas Davidson in sizes all the way up to 5X. Now, gentlemen, the way this works is I have come up with a list of 10 names by doing a little bit of research. And just basically what this is I'm going to start off by going down this list of names. And you give me a quick little, you know, how you doing about each of the names. Is everybody clear?
Mm-hmm.
So we take turns on this, or how does this work?
Yeah, we're actually going to take turns. I'm going to start off with Damien here, and after Damien goes, then we'll let Tim go.
All right.
The first name on the list we have this evening is DDK.
You know, I've only met Dante a couple times, so I don't really have only interaction ever had with him really was when he was when he came to the Sword a couple times. I think they were giving away contract for HWA or whatever, but he ended up not staying. So I don't really have an opinion for or against him. I don't really know him to base an opinion. So that's my take.
All right, Tim, we go to you.
Oh, BDK. Well, no, I've known him for years. Had a number of matches with him, but probably one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet in the locker room.
All right. The next name I have on the list would be Dave Crist.
I love Dave Crist. I really have nothing bad to say about Dave Crist. Dave Crist helped get me accepted into the HWA locker room, so I have nothing bad to say about Dave at all. I have fond memories of Dave Crist. So,
all right, we go to you, Timmy.
Oh, let's see. Oh, yep. With Dave, I'd say probably... I got to think of my first match with him. I was so excited to be wrestling Dave. It was at the Blue Note at HWA. And I got in there, I looked at the ceiling. It's like, how am I going to wrestle Dave when there's an 8-foot ceiling?
Yeah, that so, does kind of constrict a lot of things.
But I think I've wrestled him at least three times now.
All right, moving on. We have Double P Tom McLean.
I'll start with this one since this is the boring one. I've met him a time or two, but really, I don't think I've ever had so much as an interaction with him.
Okay, Damien.
I like Tom as a person, and you know, I never really did any work for MCW when he owned it. I think it was when they were in that building. I think Mountain was doing Ram out of there. So, I mean, he's not a bad dude, you know. Like I said, I'm kind of with Timmy on that. With you know, the interaction I've had with him, always been good, always been humorous. So, you know,
He's a heck of a fantasy football manager, though. I got to say that.
Okay. All right. Well, so far I'm 0 for 3 on this list. I think we actually lost. Tim Lutz. So hopefully he'll call back.
Three people on the list. You've already hung up on Lutz.
Well, I mean, he it says it dropped his call, so I don't know. I'm assuming that's what that beep was. We'll go ahead and up. Oh, okay. There he is. He's back. We'll go ahead and say, if listeners, if you're on the line and you want to talk, go ahead and hit the 1 button. Welcome back, Tim.
And so you boot me off the show.
I didn't boot nothing off the show. I mean,
that was great, Rob. Flower episode, he's the first guy you kick off the show.
Well, I mean, I've never been one to.
That for me is the lightning round.
we'll move it on. Okay. Next name on the list, we have Cody Hawk.
Oh. Timmy probably knows more about Cody Hawk than I do. I've seriously only had probably one conversation with Cody Hawk at Saw, and he was the champion, and me and Brody were running the SSK. We were going to work him, and what's the big guy's name? Blonde hair, muscles. That was Cody Hawk's partner up that way. Yeah, not Jablonski. No. The one the steroid thing. He got arrested. Drew.
Oh.
Okay, remember.
Oh, was that Chris Carnage? Chris Carnage.
Yeah, they were going to do him and Carnage against me and being Brody at one point, but it never materialized out due to scheduling and stuff. But I honestly don't know Cody Hawk. And Rob, don't take it as a striking out. You know, I mean, I honestly don't know him or have had enough conversations with him. You know, I know of him and what he's done in Ohio, but that's about as far as it goes, as far as opinion on him. I don't really watch him wrestle, so I remember him when he was coming up as the Surfer when I was wrestling in Georgia and he was wrestling in Ohio. I remember that Cody Hawk, but you know, I don't really know Cody Hawk. He and I don't barbecue together.
Well, that's
I feel you
Cody
on
Hawk
that one.
I'm going to talk about too. I've teamed with him before, I've faced him before, but I remember it being 15 years old, going to a show with Surfer Cody Hawk and Shark Boy with the original HWA days, which I remember leaving that show at 15 years old and saying that I'm going to be an indie wrestler.
Nice.
All right. Well, the next name on the list, I was informed that should strike up a story or two. Tommy Blaze.
Tommy Blaze is probably the only person in the world who can fire somebody and not be mad enough to tell him he's firing them. So, and then ask his protege, which would be Tim Lutz, would he still come to DCW if I wasn't there? So, yeah, apparently the story is, and Lutz can wish my style didn't mesh well with what they were doing, what their guys did. Apparently, I had a consecutive of six straight opponents that saw stars, and no one liked that. So, Lutz knows more of the inside of what happened because nobody told me anything. It was just more or less kind of like, hey, we're going to go in a different direction. You don't have to come this week, and then that was it. Tim can tell the other half of the story because they actually said it to him.
Well, they told me part, but didn't really tell much or tell me much either. I've actually got to clear the air on this a bit because it was actually right after that you went off to SWI, and he was asking me, will I still keep going to DCW without you there? And I said, yeah. And I was living in Kentucky at the time, and their shows kept going farther north and farther north and farther north, and the pay kept staying the same. So a couple months went by, and I said, I can't keep doing this. Next show is going to be my last show. And from there, Tommy thought that I was just leaving because of Damien. So he actually put somebody in to shoot on me the next show, which I did show up for. But, I mean, that's been years now, and there's heat there that shouldn't even be there.
Timmy, I think it's I think it was Matt Ryan who was the one who showed the disdain for the way that I work. I think that's who it was. Was Matt Ryan. Or Benjamin Boone, who thought I shot on him on purpose. Look, if I'm elbowing you in the side of the head and I tell you to turn your head and you don't turn your head, whose fault is it? It's yours. So you can take that any way you want.
I've had a couple of them occasions. But moving on, it's funny that you brought up SWI, because the next name on the list was actually Scott Toler.
You know what? For all of Scotty's dumbassery and his lack of knowledge and giving people the book and then thinking that everybody's against him and then taking the book away from people and firing people, Scotty means well. But you can't give the book to somebody when I had it, take it away, give it to Timmy, take it away, and then you bring in a guy whose response was, well, I've been watching wrestling for over 20, 30 years and been behind the scenes here and there. I should be able to be a booker. That Scotty just didn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. He didn't know when he had something good and when he didn't. You know, and that was always Scotty's biggest problem. And the fact that Travis is not gay, he's bisexual, and Scotty's gay. And Scotty wanted 100%, and Travis couldn't give it to him. But that's a whole totally different show. But I spent many a night on the phone with Scotty, listening to Scotty talk about how he wanted to do this, he wanted to do that, he wanted to compete with this, he wanted to compete with that promotion. And everything in his mind had to be hardcore. And he didn't understand that you can't just go out there and beat the shit out of each other with chairs and all night. You have to have some type of planning of it out. And there's, to me, Lutz has his opinion, but I think Scotty's biggest problem was is Scotty tries to, instead of just focusing on your show, Scotty tried to outdo all the shows in the area, and it just wasn't happening. Because he had guys that could go. He had me. He had Timmy. He had Orlando. Eric Fallon. He had Dave Chris pretty regularly. You know, we had Jay at one point. You know, we had a decent locker room. He just could not stand the fact that if he wasn't the center or who he was working with was the center, that it was going to fall apart. And everything had to be a hardcore match. And I don't know why that was his mentality, but that was his problem, was that everything had to be hardcore, and instead of focusing on your show and what you're doing, he focused on what DCW was doing or what this promotion was doing that was running down the road, you know. That was his biggest issue. He couldn't stay focused, or he would have a good idea, and he would run with it for a couple weeks, and then he would change his mind. And then you're starting all over again. So that's Scotty's biggest problem. Instead of focusing on what he had and the talent he had, he tried too much to beat this guy, beat that guy. And, you know, it just wasn't going to work doing that. So that's my take on Scotty.
All right, we go to you, Tim.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Rob. On a breaking nose news, Travis got engaged to a woman. You heard it right here on Rob, Fat Man Rob's radio show. TX Cross is engaged to a woman. There we go.
That's... See, now, it's actually kind of funny that you brought up TX Cross, because I actually know that guy... Like, way before he was even in wrestling, way before he was Scott Tolder's little butt monkey. I actually knew him. And
Wasn't he with y'all on Young James?
I believe he may have been there, like, one or two shows. But to tell you the truth, I really wasn't with James too much. So, yeah, just throwing that out there, but, you know, Tim,
I thought he was Nick
Davidson's
boyfriend before Scotty. Wasn't it Nick Davidson's fault that we had to put up with TX Cross?
Actually, it was kind of the, if I remember correctly, which I don't have the time, it was the backyard company that we had, if you want to call that a company. And it was kind of like he showed up one day, and he could take a real good ass beating, pardon the pun. But I believe that's what it was. Was we kind of brought him into the backyard and beat on him, and then we kind of went our own ways, and I guess he went his own way.
Man, oh man.
Well, I'm sure you got a lot more names, and as far as the booking goes, I think Damian nailed it. So what's the next name on the list?
All right, next name on the list was actually Ghetto Fabulous Mike Malakas.
I'm going to go first because I have no issue with Ghetto, except me and Brody did one show for him, and he never paid me and Brody. He said, I'll catch you on the next time. I forgot which show. I'll let you remember that show. It was like we went from one to the other. It was down in, not Price Hill, but down where Rodney used to run in that gymnasium. But yeah, got to get owes me 20 bucks. Me and Brody, 20 bucks for that show. But outside of that, I brought Ghetto into SWI, so I turned him and Ryan Wild loose on TX Cross and his partner, so...
Yep. I mean, I wrestling with Crave. I used to wrestle for him back at SWA. And we go all the way back to NEW and wherever Ghetto's running the show. Pretty sure I'll be there.
I did say Ghetto did stand up for me at IWI when the keep bringing me into IWI when he was running. So yeah, that was one thing I say about Ghetto. I really don't. Yeah, too bad about Ghetto. He just owes me 20 bucks. So that's it.
Well,
now,
Damien, yeah.
If you want to talk about people owing money,
let's I trained you. You're forever in debt to me.
Oh, that's kind of funny. We got a little money needs exchanging hands there. I mean, But all right, the next name on the list was kind of given to me, and I was kind of like, eh, but I threw it on there anyway because I needed names. Novocaine, also known as Ricochet.
I think Ricochet needs to pull his pants up. Novocaine. I think he needs to pull them damn pants up. I wrestled Novocaine and I'm so sorry for not remembering his name. He and Novocaine were partners. It saw. I can't remember his name. Black guy. Oh, so tight. Oh man, he used to do the oh yeah.
J Rock.
Tell me, J Rock. The one match I've had with and he was Ricochet then, and then me and Brody did, and outside of J-Rock posting on my legs and me belly over the top, belly to belly, and even hoping I didn't crash his head when he hit. It was actually pretty good. That's like I say, Novocaine, pull your pants up. Got nothing bad to say about you. Just pull them damn pants up, man.
I believe people's been telling him that for years.
I mean, we should chip in and get him a belt, something. Even the great rappers have a belt on. I mean, come on.
Well, I can attest to this because I kind of do see him on a weekly basis. He does wear a belt. I just don't think he knows how to properly operate it.
You have to get him one of them Velcro belts.
Something.
Unbelievable. All right, Timmy, you're up.
I don't have much. I mean, I had a match with him once, and that may have been the only show we've been on together.
I could have sworn you came in for at least one of his TPW shows.
The what show?
Up there. Tough Pro Wrestling. Up there in Middletown. I could have sworn you came to one of those shows. Like I stated earlier, my memory's not on there.
I had one match with him at EAPW, and actually that was even interrupted by Marcus Anthony. That was about it.
All right. Well, moving on to the number 8 spot, we have Benjamin Chimera.
Chimera, and back in when I moved from Ohio to Georgia, the first time I asked Cody Hawk, could I use Chimera? And as a person, Chimera makes me laugh, but Chimera is the only person that I know probably bought steroids, read the box and said, take steroids, and threw the box away and just got fat. I've been dying to use that for years.
That seems to be the common thing. I know the guest last week, Damien Cass, DDK, he was the guest last week. He stated that Chimera got fatter than I was, and I didn't. You know, I'm pretty fat myself, so
I mean,
I believe that's saying something.
I think he is bigger than you, Rob. I think he would be the king of the fat world order now. But as a person, I like Chimera. Over the years, he's just slowly gotten bigger and bigger. So, but easy guy to work. No complaints in the ring. Times I had to be in the ring with him. Nothing bad. Loved to do whatever. Just a portly fella. So,
Timmy, you got anything to add to that?
It's been a couple of years since I've seen him. I do have to say that actually the last time I saw him, I was tagging with Hobo Joe, going against Chimeras. But no, I mean he brought me up to WWC, got me a couple bookings there. Can't say anything bad about him. It's just been forever since I've seen him.
Well, the consensus is everybody likes Chimera. He's just gained a lot of weight over the years. That's the consensus.
The general consensus is he got fat, but I wouldn't go as far as everybody likes him.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a few people that don't.
I would like to take this opportunity real quick. Callers, if you're just joining us, you can press 1 at any time on your cellular device or touch-tone phone and join into the conversation and ask Damien or Tim a question. So, moving on, the last name on the list would be Fluffy, a.k.a. Johnny Suede.
Fluffy person, great person. No Fluffy personally. Know his wife personally. Have nothing but love for Johnny Suede, but Johnny Suede cannot decide whether he wants to be Sting or Johnny Suede or whatever character he wants to work.
That at one point in time, he was running a Puerto Rican gimmick called the Puerto Rican Sensation, where he would come to the ring like Boogeyman. He would come to the ring like Boogeyman, but he was gayer than a $3 bill and Jesse Sinclair.
You just got to take a gimmick and stick with it like I have.
All 19 of them look.
I've had the same gimmick since the day I debuted. I don't know what you're talking about. Now, Rob,
Jimmy, your turn.
There was one name that I was waiting for, and he didn't make the list. Can I say it now?
Oh, go ahead. We'll add a special bonus round. How about that?
For the bonus round, Timptastic Tim Tatum.
Timptastic Tim Tatum is the greatest manager to ever manage in Ohio wrestling, to manage me. The things that he and I have done and the things that cannot be discussed on any TV show, the things that he and I have gotten out of have just been ridiculous. But Pimptastic Tim Tatum, whether he's owning a company and he's working with the talent he's got, or he's managing guys to the top, there is nothing better or higher than Pimptastic Tim Tatum. None better. None.
See, I would agree with that, except I would say Kentucky Wrestling.
Yeah, he did manage the entire roster there.
Well, I will say that name was left off the list not on purpose, but due to ignorance. I've never heard of him, so it's kind of why he didn't make the list.
Unbelievable.
Real quick, we have a caller from Tennessee that would like to say something. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hello, who is this?
Yeah, how's it going?
Hey, this is Kenny. Tennessee.
Okay, welcome. What's your comment or question?
I just have a question. Where the hell has Hardbody Rogers disappeared to?
That one's for you, Fat Man. I got no clue, buddy.
That's the million-dollar question. I mean, Nobody's really seen or heard from him, or last I heard, he was in a retirement home somewhere. He had a broken hip.
I think we just did.
Retirement home, huh?
Is it Hardbody?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Hardbody.
Oh, I love Hardbody. Hardbody, Hardbody saved our match at Saul when we knocked his tag team partner silly.
I just thought I'd make a shout out, call in, and say hey.
Well,
good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
always good to hear from you. Hey, real quick, while I got you on the line.
Just remember my rules. Live with it, get over it, and move on.
Well, that's good advice right there. But real quick, while I got you on the line, did you ever have that hernia taken care of, or did it start drinking as much as you did?
No, it's taken care of. Now, let's get on the subject of appendix bursting. Different story.
Oh.
Don't have
Yeah, I've heard stories. Well,
Rob, you might have to have Hard Body on just to cover his appendix and his liver.
Well, I will tell him if he's interested in doing a show, he can hit me up and we can arrange that.
Sure, let's do that. Hit me up on Facebook. We'll talk.
Yes, sir. I will do that.
All righty. Take care of yourselves.
All right, Hard Body. Yeah.
You too, sir. Thanks for calling and have a good one. Ladies and gentlemen, Hard Body Rogers.
Hard Body Rogers, either. It was me and Brody against Hard Body, and I can't remember the kid's name. He went by one name, Cronus, something like that. But he didn't tuck his head and got totally knocked out and didn't know where he was when he stood up. And Hard Body goes, let's just take this home to salvage it. And so he goes, I'll take you in Mike's finishing move. What is it? So that was interesting, him taking the super death blow the first time and had never taken it before. I think we knocked the liquor out of him.
I remember when Davidson actually put him in SOM over there at Saw. That was they attempted to sober him up, but it kind of didn't really work very well.
Look, man, like Timmy said, if you got a gimmick, go with it. His tag team partner's the Flask. Work that gimmick, brother. Work that gimmick. So nobody worked it better. He worked it better than Scott Hall.
Yeah, he did, actually. I will have to agree with you on that. So moving on to the end of the second half of our show here. We just completed the lightning round. I want to start with Damien here. Actually, I started with Damien last time. Let's start with Tim Letts over here. I got to stop calling you Timmy.
Yes.
We'll start with Tim Letts over here, and I want to know, out of all the matches you've been in, out of all the companies you've been to, mine included, you know, there was a lot of matches you've done for my company, and what's a good thing for that? But I want to know.
Yesterday.
Yeah, was it the one down there in Amelia in the back of the carpet store?
Was that the one when the rope broke, when the ring
that's
broke,
one,
and listen, I did
the
whole match with
about.
No rope.
Mm-hmm. That's the one I was talking about. And I couldn't believe that when I hit you with the turnbuckle, covered you in the middle of the ring, an animal had to throw the rope in, and you got rope break in the middle of the ring. I still can't believe that.
You know what the best part of that show was? It wasn't that match. It was the fact that I dislocated Dwayne's elbow with a chair. That was the best part of that show.
I thought it was the
Dwayne
Gonzalez commentary.
Yeah, Dwayne was there. Remember, you popped his elbow. Was it you? I hit him with a chair and dislocated his elbow, and I thought it was you who popped his elbow back in place when he came crawling through the back.
Dwayne who?
You know, Dwayne. Dwayne.
Gladwell?
Gladwell.
Yeah.
I don't believe I've ever booked Dwayne Gladwell. I don't tend to book some type of people.
He was there. He was with somebody that was there. And for some reason, he came to the ring with him. And I remember hitting him with a chair, and I, because he put his arm up, and I dislocated his elbow. And then when he went to the back, you or Nicholas popped it and just grabbed his arm and jerked it back into place.
Okay. No, the show that you're thinking of was the one at Goshen High School that we did for the kid with the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember
and it was you and Yeah, it was you and Brody were coming out, and you were my match killers.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the show I believe you're thinking of.
So sorry, I think it was you.
What was the question?
All right, yeah, we got sidetracked.
All right, well, back to the question. It was, I wanted to know the worst, just crappiest, the one that just every time somebody asks you this question, you automatically go to it, match that you've been in.
The worst match?
Yes.
Huh. See, I was expecting the best match question, but what was the worst
exactly
match that I've had? I mean, you asked tough questions. Huh. Well, I guess I'll have to give props to my trainer on this one then. The looking back at the couple matches I had before I met Damian where I thought they were great matches and before I learned how to work. But looking back at those, like, okay, those were terrible. Who let me in a ring? But as far as just a terrible match, okay, now I thought of one, and I can't even think of the guy's name. Evan DeMalis, that's what it was.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was Evan DeMalis, the Hamilton County Fair. I would name a basic move, and he didn't know what it was. But still thought that he knew everything. So that was a fun match.
Damien, you got anything to add about Evan DeMalis?
I think not really worst match, but probably worst situation I've been in as far as match goes. It was I was wrestling. This is the match I was talking about where Benjamin Boone thought I was shooting on him on purpose. He took some forearms to the face and an arm lock. Basically, I had him in kind of like a Boston crab, except for the arm. Well, the rule is, if I pull up on your arm, you need to come up with me, right? So if you just leave your body in that down position and I pull up on your arm, psychology is going to tell you that your arm's going to hurt. So he thought I was trying to rip his arm out of socket. Long story short, we get to the finish, and the finish is a superplex, and he hangs on to my feet. So we get to the top rope. We get up there. I go to superplex him, and I am not kidding. He looks at me and goes, I've never done this before. I've never taken this. I'm too scared. I don't want to do it. And so, literally, I have to have him headbutt me off the road. He grabs me. I spin him around. He was using the bear hug as his finisher. So I grab him, let him grab me in the bear hug, and then I just flop backwards to the mat so the ref can count me, count of three. That's probably one of the more frustrating things that I've had. If you've never done it and you say you're going to do it, don't tell me when we're standing on the top rope and we're going home.
That tends to be a rule of thumb. I mean,
yeah. So, yeah, that's
but
real quick,
I want to take a minute to say that, hey, callers, if you're just now joining us, press 1. To speak, and you will be spoken to. Now,
thanks, Diamond. He gets muted.
Well, I kind of do his show on Tuesday nights, but you know, he may be a little upset with me that my show's been outshining his. Anyway,
hey, and you have sponsors, and he's been on for what,
yeah,
5-6 years, and yeah.
All right, caller, we have a caller real quick. I'm going to take this call. Caller, you're on the line. Welcome.
Am I your caller?
Hello.
Yeah, am I your caller?
Yes.
Okay. Got a couple questions for you. Okay.
All right. Real quick, just in case nobody knows, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jack the Rev, Reverend Jack. You know. Welcome to the show, Rev. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Well, first part's a question. Second part's an opinion for you guys, not
okay.
me. Okay. I heard through the grapevine, Facebook, there was some controversy Friday night at the Crave show. Okay. And I don't need to, you know, get into what it was, but it brings up an interesting point about ring setup. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on back and forth between, you know, do veterans help set up the ring? And, you know, should veterans help set up the ring, or have they paid their dues? So on and so forth. So I wanted to get their opinion on that. And the other wrestler I wanted to get an opinion on, okay, is Kai Civicill. Okay, or how do you fuck up a clothesline?
Yeah.
Now, but listen, before you give an opinion, I want to make this caveat. I like him. Okay, yeah, as a person. Okay, I think he's a mediocre wrestler. Okay, but that guy can get booked in more places, in more promotions, and I'd like to know what the hell. I mean, I've seen this guy work. I mean, but he's being booked in, like, you know, down in Tennessee and over, you know, over in like Marion and up in Michigan. And, you know, I mean, is this guy that good of a, maybe he needs to be a promoter. If he can get himself that over with, but still, but okay. I'll set up and listen now. Okay. I just wanted to get,
who are we talking about? What guy? I didn't hear what he said. I'm sorry.
All right, Jack, I'm going to, thanks for calling in. Thanks for the question. I'm going to go ahead and mute you, and we will get to your question. I'm just going to go ahead and mute you real quick. The person that he is actually talking about, I believe you two might know him as, he was running with Dan Hansen for a while as Kai Hansen. He was the guy at the HFW show that they beat the holy hell out of with the Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay. You know,
he was also found and kicked out of Saw for smoking crack or shooting crack up in the bathroom.
Jesus Christ, that's insane.
I know Kai or Simicule or whatever you want to call him, but I've seen him work, not recently, but I'm still trying to figure out who he trained with.
I know he's claiming, and I actually contacted Les Thatcher about this. He was going around claiming he did 2 months worth of training with Les Thatcher. Upon confirmation from Les Thatcher, he had only attended 2 trainings and left halfway through the second one.
Yeah, he actually sends me messages every now and again. But, I mean, the biggest thing I'd say is that you need to find
– I don't know him.
The Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he's trained with anybody going through actual training, but the.
You know what, Timmy, I'm gonna have to cut you off there for a minute, and you're kind of too nice for your own good there sometimes, because I'm gonna flat out say it. I mean, he sucks. I mean, he is one of them guys that doesn't need or deserve to be anywhere around a wrestling ring. I have personal experience with him in the ring, and okay, and like Jack said there, the key phrase was, how do you fuck up a clothesline? My finisher is a clothesline. I told him clothesline. I called it right before I hit him with it. And he fetal positioned, landed on his ass, and sat there and stared at me.
See, more than anything, though, that goes back to the training.
A wise man once told me,
rule number one, learn how to bump.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's, some guys it takes more training than others, but the biggest thing is for anybody that wants to get better, you find somewhere where you can work on your craft.
And I mean,
and
you know, I'm not. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. There's a bit of a delay on my end. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a bit of a delay, and it's kind of screwing with me a little bit. But I mean, I will say this. I mean, I'm nobody in this business. I've only been in, you know, the few years that I've been in, and you know, people tell me I'm not all that good. But I have offered many times to help this guy. And I mean, I showed up early before shows and told him, hey, if you want to come, you know, work some stuff, there's training before the shows every Saturday. And he would show up at the ass of the training, walk out, shake everybody's hand, and then go out back and smoke. So, I mean, there's really no want to get better with him. He just wants to get in there and...
Yeah, that's the thing.
Go ahead.
Hmm?
Oh, you were saying something. Like I said, the delay's messing with me. I'm sorry about that.
It's working to get better. That's my whole point.
Yeah, and I mean, the way in addressing the second part of the question, how, in my opinion, how I believe he gets bookings is, I mean, he's good on Facebook.
If you're willing to do stupid things and take an ass whooping, of course someone's going to give you $20 to come out there and take an ass whooping, no matter how bad it looks.
Well, it's not even that he gets, you know, $20 out of it. It's, because I know the bookings that he's on, and, you know, seeing him on these bookings made me actually hit these guys up and get the same bookings as he did. And I know, you know, some of these bookings, I know for a fact he ain't getting paid.
Well, and that's, if there's guys that you can fill a spot for free, I can, that's another way to see if he's getting bookings too. I mean, some promoters just want to fill a spot. I mean, if it doesn't cost them anything to do it, they'll do it.
And that about sums it up.
That's about the half of it. Yeah. But moving on, you know, we still got some time left here, so.
What was the other part of his question? I heard something.
Setting up the ring, paying dues.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I was trained in the 90s. 97, 96, 97.
So, man, you're getting old.
Yeah, I know. The way it was, and, you know, I didn't come up in the Ohio wrestling system. I came up in the NWA, Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina wrestling system. And I did rings during training, and when I got to the NWA, I showed up early, and I picked up a corner to help them carry it, and the security guy said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, early rings." He goes, "We have a crew for that." So from that point on, you know, paying your dues is all, you know, nobody ever pays their dues completely. I personally am not going to jump to help put a ring together and take it apart. The way I was brought up, we had crews for that. HWA, we had crews for that. SWI, we had crews for that. It was already set up. I don't jump to take a ring apart or put it together. I just, after a certain point of time, I decided I wasn't going to do that anymore. And I just stopped doing it. And, you know, it became a contention when I came to Ohio because for some reason, and I like wrestling in Ohio, I really do. The wrestling in Ohio, the rule of thumb is if you weren't from there and you weren't trained by Cody Hawk, Les Thatcher, someone from Ohio, and you came, when I came up, and you came from another area, it's like everything you accomplished meant absolutely nothing. So why should I take 5-6 years of being on national television, working guys like AJ Styles? Why should that not count because I come to move to a different state? You know, and that's always my biggest contention with the Ohio wrestling scene. I had to work Dave Crist away from HWA to get a full-time spot, and me and Tim Tatum are really close friends, and he had a big pull in HWA. And once Dave and Jay accepted me, it was cool. I love Dave and Jay. I really do. Nothing bad to say about either one of them. But that was my vibe is, you know, they talk about Ohio wrestling and it being closed off. Well, it's closed off because when somebody comes from somewhere else, I didn't come up in the age of an internet. I didn't come up in the age of cell phones. I came up in the age of VHS tapes and an address book. So when kids go, "What do you got online?" I don't got anything online. It's all in a box of VHS tapes in the back corner. So immediately, because I didn't come up in the era of online, none of that ever mattered. But look, can testify to this. When asked, AJ Styles has always backed the play. That he knows me, we work together, we were partners, I helped develop him. And Lutz can testify to that because he's asking. But still, you mention it up in Ohio, and people are like, "Oh, it never happened." There's been several people who have asked him that. And Lutz, what does he say?
He knew you right away.
Exactly. So that was always my biggest problem with Ohio. Not the people, but the fact that it's so closed off to the rest of everything else. If it didn't happen in Ohio, then it never happened. You know, that's my take on paying your dues. I mean, I love to train, and let's go tell you, I can train all day. I love training guys. But there becomes a point in your work when you have vets taking down, setting up the ring, and you don't have your security, your students, your tag-alongs taking that ring apart, what message and what dues are you saying to them? If you're not making guys who are training take the ring down, yeah, sure, I can get it. We got to get out the building quick. I don't mind throwing a hand in. But I'm not going to jump when you have 10 people who are students trying to be cool walking around with you. That's what the younger generation is for. That's how they pay their dues to get to where you are. If you don't ever do that with them, which the philosophy now in wrestling is, I'm gonna have some money, I'm gonna buy a ring, I'm gonna open a school, I'm gonna show you two bumps and run the rope, and then we're gonna do flips, and then I'm gonna give you a match in a month. And they got no clue what they're doing. And again, I was trained under a very different school of thought. But it just seems that, to me, a vet, whether he's been, and a legitimate vet, let's tell you, if you say you've been wrestling 10 years and ask you how many matches you've had, and you say I've had 500, so that's 200 matches a year, give or take. So you're really not a 10-year veteran. But that's not a lot. Let's ask me how many matches had I had, and I can't tell him. If someone can tell you how many matches they've had, they got a problem. And that's the way it was explained to me. When I started, it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every weekend. But to me, I don't think vets should be taking rings down. And I'm talking legitimate vets. Guys, so you can put a tape in the VHS or whatever, and it's on national TV because the deal that HWA got, WCW left us in Georgia and gave it to them. So it's the exact same national TV deal that they were on. We were on first. So, no, I don't think a true vet should be out there putting a ring together. I think it should be the trainees. It should be the tag-alongs. You should have a crew. And then you have to look at, if I'm running a show and I only have two students in my thing, what am I really teaching? Think about it.
Yeah.
If I'm having to book all these outside guys to put asses in the seats, but I can't get anybody to show up at the training school, what does that tell you? And just because you have a training school doesn't mean you need to be training people. Way too many people have money and can buy a ring now and put three letters up on the door. All that does is get people hurt and make people who really care about the business look bad.
Look, just because some guy got his nose broke at my company doesn't mean I'm a bad company, okay? That was Davidson's fault. He threw a door at the guy, and apparently he caught it with his face. Anyway, Timmy, you got anything you want to add to this? You sound like you might have had something to say a couple times.
I agree with the stance, but I absolutely think that the newer guys should be the first ones there, grabbing a piece of the ring. But and I'll make a comment when they're guys that should be setting up rings that aren't. But usually I'll be there right along with them. Actually, Damien's had to pull me back a couple times. But the guys that are green should absolutely be paying their dues, setting up the ring. It's also important to know that a lot of times they won't know how a given ring goes up, so there does need to be at least one vet there showing them. But
especially the new age wrestlers. But anyway, I know. See, my experiences are, I started at HWA back in 2005, and I mean, there I didn't really have to touch a ring. Like Damien said, they had their own crew. There was a ring crew, there was a security crew, there was a sound crew. I mean, shit, they were one step away from having a crew to wipe somebody's ass. But I mean, it was a legit run promotion, and I know.
Uh-huh.
I know. I got from there. I got with James Radford, and I had to sling his ring, as they say, many a times. I mean, it was, you know, you show up for training, you got to set up the ring, and then we do the drills, and after we're done, we tear it down and, you know, stack it up, and it, but I mean, I still to this day go to shows. Like, I go to IWA Mid-South, and, you know, I did a show for them, but I've been there a few other times, and that's all I did was help set up the ring and sit back and watch the show. I mean, it was drilled into my head when I started training was, you know, set up the ring, help tear down the ring. You know, they're hiring you for a job, and I was told that part of that job is, if necessary, helping with other things. So, I mean, that's my point of view on it. But
and the wrestling's different down here in the South than it is up north. I mean, down here, your major companies, they have crews for that. Guys don't simply work the card. Students do. And when I mean they have students and they have schools, they have 10, 15 people in their school. They have, like you said, security crews. They have guardrails. You know, they have all the different here in Georgia than up there. But a lot of it down here is if you're booked and you're not from there, you're not going to touch their ring. It's going to be set up when you walk in the door. And that's just a difference of that goes back to someone who wants to run a promotion and has money and someone who wants to run a promotion correctly. And that was always a contention with me in DCW. I don't make any facts. Tommy Blaze always wanted me to help with the ring. I wouldn't do it.
Well, I know when I would run the HFW shows, I would actually pay Tim Lutz to use his ring for, I believe, four of the shows. And I know, you know, I would pay him his amount, and he would actually come and help set it up. I mean, and work the show for me. But he kind of did it all for me, and, you know, it was...
I brought the sound system.
Good times. Yeah, brought the sound system. Yeah, forgot about that. You know, so, I mean... Like I was saying earlier, I mean, I'm being paid for a service, and I believe, you know, Tim felt the same way when, you know, I paid him, and he helped set it up with the guys that I told to be on the ring crew, and, you know, I had to fight with them and argue with them, but, you know, they still ended up doing it, and but anyway. Getting back to the show. Now the next question I had, it's kind of been, you know, addressed a little bit, but it's kind of more directed at Damian than it would be Timmy. And I got a question specifically for Tim Lutz here in a minute, but Damian, I know you've been out of Ohio for, gosh, I want to say 3, maybe 4 years now, and
yeah,
you know, you're down in I believe, what, South Carolina now?
Yep, in South Carolina.
So I mean, how does the shows down in South Carolina differ from, you know, the ones up here in Ohio?
They pop for it, Toss. They pop
one more time.
I said they pop,
they pop for a hip toss
and an arm drag down here.
Okay.
You don't have to do the – down here, you don't have to do the Ring of Honor, that constant cruiserweight style. You can get over with some psychology and just simple movement. Because the people here, they take their wrestling seriously and they take it personally. You know, I just went to a show a couple Saturdays ago. A friend of mine runs. I mean, we're talking 400 people in the high school gymnasium. Loud as can be. And the biggest pops of the night was the story they were telling between the owner and the president. I mean, it was great. And the biggest moves was not maybe the backflip, which got the pop, but then they quiet. But it's knowing when to throw the move and when not to throw the move. That's the best way I could say it. I told Les a long time ago, speed up but slow down. And too many guys don't know what that means. If you do 9 flips in a row, the crowd ain't going to remember the first one. They're just going to see the last one. Down here, it's more of a story-driven running, you know, on the first and third. You're getting the same storylines. They're taking 8 months to tell a story. They're up there where shows may not run the same. You know, and I'm excluding, like, Rockstar because I like what they're doing at Rockstar with their stories and things that they do. But it seems like they don't hear it. They take time to tell a story. Up there, they let the match and kind of the showcase of the match. How many times can I do a dive? And a match may only need one dive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Maybe
it's a little down here. It's a little slower moving. Let me take in the story of what's going on between these two guys. But, you know, that's just my take. You know, they were popping for hip tosses and arm drags, and I haven't seen that in years.
So it would be more kind of, I guess what they say up here, the old school mentality versus the flippity floppity bullshit.
It would kind of be like the 1985 NWA. That's 1985 NWA. From like 1992 when they were really hot versus maybe a NXT where you have suplex pop up, kick to the face pop up, tombstone pile driver pop up versus, whoa, he had a big hip toss. We extend the count out 1-2. Oh, shit, he got his foot on the ropes. That's what I'm saying. Because there's a place for flippity floppity. There's a place for it. But nowadays, too many people want to do move, pop up, move, pop up, move, pop up. They don't want to let that move sit there and let the crowd soak that move in. And so that's what it would be.
Yeah, they want to be spot monkeys nowadays. But now I want to go to Tim Lutz over here. Now, when I brought you into the show, I announced you as Guinness Book of World Record holder. And by now, I believe that's, you know, common knowledge. But what I want to address is... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's actually a hoax. It never happened.
I got a book that says otherwise. I mean...
Oh.
Anyway, but what I want to address is... Now, I keep hearing rumors that... with the restart of your company, that there may be a second attempt to go longer. Can you verify any of this, or?
I would be happy to dispel those rumors. I've told a number of people. Now, actually, let me back up. Back on April 1st. I posted the 24-hour flyer. More people bid on that than should have. That was absolutely an April Fool's joke. But I have told a number of people that there is only one way that I would do that match again, and it wouldn't be breaking the record. It would be breaking someone else's record if somebody goes longer than 12, I don't mind getting a group of guys together to beat that. But the six of us worked too hard for me to get another group of guys together to beat that record.
Well, see, now I heard it wasn't going to be a different set of guys. I heard it was going to be the original guys, kind of like a reunion match type deal.
I don't mind getting those six guys together again. Even though a couple of them I don't think are even wrestling anymore. One of them's down in Georgia. One of them's down in Texas. we will absolutely not get the six of us together to break the record.
All right, well.
But I wouldn't mind doing a six-man tag if I can get them all to the same place.
Well, there we have it. I mean, you heard it here first. It's not going to happen unless somebody else breaks the record first. But apparently, go ahead.
There was somebody. There was one guy that told me years ago that he was getting a group of guys together to break it. And I told him that I would buy a ticket and I would sit front row to see the Bulldog and Dan Hansen break the record.
Wow.
I would sit there for all 15 minutes.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy a ticket to that show. yeah, but we kind of have a situation here because, you know, the number one hasn't been hit, but I'm kind of just going to put him on the spot anyway. And it's a guy you both know, ladies and gentlemen, Ace Diamond.
I thought we were muting Ace Diamond.
Ace.
Rob.
Ace Diamond.
Colin, quit it. Ace, quit hitting the freaking phone with your cheek.
I didn't do that.
Welcome to the show, Ace. You specifically told me you were going to call in to this show, and I've sat here and watched you on hold, I guess, but you never hit one. Now, you told me you were actually going to have the balls to speak up on this show. What happened with that?
That's not what I said.
Didn't he try that?
I mean, I got the message. Well, no, the first show he told me he had some big blockbuster WBN size announcement, and it ended up being, you know,
it was
sparklers at a birthday party. No,
yeah,
it was a sparkler at a birthday party.
It wasn't even
that
a sparkler.
That was not for tonight. That's for in a few weeks.
No, we were talking about the first episode of FWR Radio Ace.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, apparently, you know, you're not entertaining, but I know the next person that I'm going to put on the spot is entertaining, and if I remember correctly, this should be Miss Natasha Rivers.
It's a reunion.
Natasha. Hello.
Hi.
Really?
There she is.
Hi, Swinky.
Look, if you can mute Ace and get Simon on the phone, then it would be a party.
Does anybody have Animal's number?
Animal's in bed. He gets up really early in the morning.
Well, I kind of had to bring the reunion together. You know, everybody's on the line. It's all back together, and you know. What? Nobody wants to say anything? Nobody wants to say anything to Damian Daniels or Tim Lutz.
Everybody's trying to figure out why Ace Diamond called in. He's the only person I know who calls in the radio show and calls his dead air.
That is the question, Ace.
I can't hear a thing.
Natasha, you were saying...
I said, you're really trying to figure out why he called in. He's trying to ride somebody's coattails. That's what he's good at.
Ace, your rebuttal?
I have nothing to say to her.
You know, Natasha, if I'm not mistaken, the last time he said something to you, didn't I put him in a STF in a cross face till he agreed he'd leave for good?
Hey, Damien, what does FTS stand for?
It's submission through fear, people. Every time John Cena puts it on TV, Masahiro Chono rolls over in his grave and he's not dead. Every time the idiot Michael Cole goes, the notorious John Cena with the STF.
All right, so I'm going to follow a piece of advice that I got on this show. Hey, Ace, goodbye. Now,
I still have
Natasha, thanks for... I was coming back to you, Natasha. I mean, it was... I didn't mute you.
I still have his name on it, though.
He kicked me off halfway through.
Is he still there? No, thank God he's gone.
He's listening, but he's muted. He can't talk.
He's sitting in his room right now, cussing.
Clicking
one mouth
Natasha,
with Facebook and the other with internet porn. But that's another show.
He's probably got his laptop and his tablet sitting right there, you know. One of them's probably gay monkey porn, and the other one's probably midget amputees. But anyway, now Natasha, you're working down there with Roger Ruffin at NWF.
Yes, I am.
Last you told me you were exclusive down there, but the question I have is, would you go to another company if you got paid?
Depends on how much you're paying me, what night of the week it is, and I clear it with Roger.
All right, that's good to know. That's really all I needed. You got anything to say to these two gentlemen?
Lest I hate you, but with some text messages, Damien, I miss you.
Yes, I miss you too. And trust me, we're going to come to Ohio soon. That boy's almost as tall as Timmy. So.
Hey.
But yes, hey, you have to
all
send
right.
me another text message, Natasha, because I lost my contacts again, so.
I will send you another text.
I replied right away today.
What happened to the when I was trying to get you to help me move? You never replied to one of those messages.
I never
messages.
Got that text. You told me it was coming, and I never got that.
I said hi. You said, well, when do you get off work? No answer.
Yeah,
that one never
came.
Sounds like Tim Lutz is trying to get out of doing something.
Well,
shit, I'd have helped you move for a pizza. I mean, you know.
I'll keep that in mind because I still got to move again. I'll
all
keep
right.
On my...
Well, let me know.
Well, make
but
sure you call
thank you.
And not text.
Well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Natasha Rivers. You can listen to the show. I'm going to mute you too. We are actually running out of time here. So I want to first with Damien, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
It's the time of the show where I give you an opportunity to plug any show you're going to be at, plug your social media sites, so on and so forth. And after the plugs, I ask that, you know, you leave us with a little piece of veteran advice for the next generation. So let's go ahead and get into that, shall we?
Which part, the veteran advice or the plugging the shows?
Well, the plugs come before the veterans. That's what you leave us with, sir.
I'm going to do something because I'm going to put Timmy Lutz on the spot because I'm going to plug his APW show. I've never actually got to work for APW, so I'm putting Timmy Lutz on the spot. I have to have thumb surgery. After my thumb surgery is done, because we all know after October there might be one more APW show before the new year. But I am putting the owner, the commissioner, and whoever owned the spot. I want the winner of your championship match between Mark Magnum and the other guy. Can you give me that? Come to Ohio at APW. I want the winner.
I will talk to the boss. I do know that you have an open invitation anytime you're in town, but there's actually some new owners, so I'm going to have to
have to put the word in, but we'll see what happens.
Unbelievable.
But
I'll still let
you
go ahead and throw some plugs out there.
Huh?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But you are talking about the show on October 8th at the
exactly.
North College Hill City Center, Ascend Pro Wrestling, Raising the Standard, where it's Mark Magnum versus Ryan Michaels for the APW title. That's the show you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just clearing that up.
All right. Well, Damien, you got any plugs you want to throw out there?
Not really, man. I'm about to have thumb surgery, but later on after thumb surgery, I'll throw some plugs because I'm basically just watching now. So I'm plugging Lucky's show for him because I want to win.
All right.
I'm hoping it's Mark Magnum.
I just got a message back. And if you're up in November, that match is going to happen.
And
but
then we might.
I've got a challenge for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, the New Year's coming. South Carolina's license state.
Mm-hmm.
So how about I get my South Carolina license, and we do Tim Lutz and Damian Daniels one more time.
Hey,
down
we
in
can
South
do-
Carolina.
Hey, you and I already know that's in the works. Anyway, we've talked about this.
Yeah, but
yeah,
the people
we
don't.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would be, when it happened, it would be a three-count wrestling, which is a great promotion, by the way. A lot of good guys telling a lot of good stories, taking training very seriously there. But I'll make that happen. You make that happen for me, I'll make that happen for you.
Well, that sounds like a deal.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
We don't even have to ask Rob what he thinks is going to happen at the end because we know you're going to lose, but it just has to be.
Mud being slung already. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, an exclusive here on FWA Radio. You heard it first. Now, Damien, I would like, at this time, I would like you to leave us with a little bit of veteran advice for the next generation.
Get trained properly. Be picky where you're trained. Don't think because they have a ring that they know what they're doing. Spend some money to get trained. Check the people out. Learn how to bump. Rule number one and rule number two, see rule number one if you have any questions. And younger generation, speed up but slow down. When that phrase hits you in the face, you'll know you're working and not just out there flipping. But it all goes back to training and being picky at where you train. And make sure you're getting a proper training from people and not just, okay, you bumped twice, good. You run the ropes, kid, all right, you're in our main event. That's not the way to build pro wrestling.
All right. Well, actually, I have one last-minute question that came in via social media. This question is actually directed towards Damien. Now, there's a guy that runs around, and, I mean, he sponsors this show, but he runs around, and he claims that you actually claim him. And his name is, you know, Nicholas Davidson.
You know, for all the bad press, when I met Nicholas Davidson was very similar to Timmy. Nicholas Davidson has gotten better over the years. I personally love Nicholas Davidson. I've worked him and Marcus several times. On some level, I claim Nicholas Davidson, not as a trainee, because he was trained by Kamala long before I saw him. But I do want one of those fuck Nicholas Davidson shirts. I do want one of those.
All right, well, for one of the fuck you Davidson shirts, you can hit up Davidson. You know, he has them for sale in various sizes. I would like to thank Damian Daniels for being a part of the show tonight.
Yes,
taking time out of his schedule. And I would like to say it was interesting having you on. You know, a lot of good wisdom come out of you. And once again, I'd like to say thank you. And I'm gonna let you go.
All right.
Now, oh shit! I hit the button. Oops. Sorry about that, Damien.
Yeah.
I'm gonna move.
You won't interrupt me again.
All right. Well, I'll put him back on. We'll put him back on.
Rob, I gotta go check all on right. The kid, so I'll let you mute me, brother, and I'll catch up with you, Lutz. All right. All right. Bye.
I thank you again, sir. Have a good evening.
No problem. You too. Bye.
Now, Timmy, it's your turn in the show. You know, your plugs, you got your show coming up, your social media sites, and so on and so forth. So let's go ahead.
All right. Well, like I said, that APW show coming up on October 8th, North College Hill. It is a shoot. There are new partners. Not going to reveal them right now, but it isn't just me anymore. So, but that is coming up on October 8th. You can find it at Ascend Pro Wrestling on Facebook. That is a small name change thanks to a tag team in WWE that shall remain nameless. But that's Ascend Pro Wrestling. And, of course, Lightning Tim Lutz. On Facebook as well. I'm doing most of my wrestling posts on that. Not as much on my personal page, so like Lightning Tim Lutz. I think I was the first one to do the book live videos for matches, so you can catch those every now and again, but make sure you come out to a show. I think the next one I'll be
no,
on.
Real... No, next one you'll be on, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'll be on Cravapalooza coming up in September. Need to check on the date on that. Feel like it was the 17th, but I'm going to double check on that.
All right, well, you can double check on that, and everybody can catch it on your social media page, your Facebook, Lightning Tim Lutz.
Absolutely.
Now, I kind of want to put you on the spot a little bit, you know. Why hasn't the Fat Man made his APW debut?
Well,
it's a brutally honest show, Timmy. I mean, you could tell me I suck. I mean,
it's been forever since I've seen you work. I'll talk to the partners. We'll see if we can get you on a future one. We pretty much got the card set for October. But like Damien said, there are going to be future shows, and we'll see if we can't get the Fat Man Rob on.
All right, brother. I mean, I can bring, you know, the FWO does sell. I do have a kind of a cult following. I mean, I've sold over 100 T-shirts, damn it. But, all right, well, it's that time of the night. You know, it's the very last of the veteran advice for us. Timmy, you got any veteran advice you want to send on to the generations ahead?
Got to piggyback on Damien again. Get trained right. With me being up in Ohio, I'll name names. The two best training schools I've found. One is Cody Hawk. The other is James Avery. If you're getting into the business, those are the two names to look up first.
Anything else?
So get trained right. That's the main one. But get gear. People laugh at me for having at least five or six pairs of tights in my bag, but you've gotta get gear, get boots. Those are my two biggest things.
All right. Well, adding to your get trained and your list of trainers you spouted off, I would like to add. I hear good things about Roger Ruffin down there at NWF.
Absolutely.
I also hear
Roger definitely up there as well.
I also hear good things about Big Jim Hutchinson.
Absolutely.
And I know one more maniac, Mark Mustang. I know he's there's some things going on. He's a good one too.
I have to check that out.
Well, Timmy, I like to say thank you for being on the show tonight. You know, the wisdom you imparted. We had fun in the lightning round. You know. And the bonus, you gave us our bonus, you know. But I like to say thank you and, you know, good evening.
Well, thank you very much. Have a good night.
You too, brother. Have a good one. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of FWO Radio with the Fat Man Rob Fatone. I would like to thank our guest, Damian Daniels, and Guinness Book of World Record holder, Lightning Tim Lutz. And I'd like to thank our sponsors, once again, that you can get some smell-good stuff. If your house stinks, if your car stinks, if, you know, your kid likes to walk around with stuff that smells, you can visit her at lauradavidson.cincy, that's SCENTSY.US. And we're also brought to you tonight by Fuck You Davidson. Yes, that is Fuck You Davidson. If you hate Nicholas Davidson and you just want to tell him fuck you every time you come to a show, there's a shirt for that. Once again, I'd like to thank everybody for listening, everybody for calling in. This has been the 5th edition of FWO Radio.
Manners are the happy ways of doing things. And Emerson was right. Be natural. Be yourself. But see yourself as others see.
I'm back. I smoke a bong with grimace and strike the bowl until the whole dime's finished. A sinister minutes to distribute the nuggets in the form of CDs in the fact. Kids love it. I baptize both ears and eyes and annoyed with the remaining creases of French fries. I'm plus size like a casual male, big and tall like y'all with Java with no tail. I need a